Big day in golf today. It's Torrey Pines, but there's a name that's bigger than the course today, and that's our buddy Eldrick. He's back.
I'm glad to see that Eldrick's back out on tour again, and he did a little experimentation down in the Hero Challenge in the Bahamas. It went well, so hopefully he'll be able to build on that and come back and play competitively at Torrey Pines. Of course, he loves to play on, of course.
7 wins on tour, 1 U.S. Open win on a broken leg with a torn ACL. He said, "I have no more pain. I don't have to regiment my training. I don't have to regiment my golf. I can go play when I want to play. 18, 36, 6 days a week."
Well, he needs to swing like a 42-year-old, not a 22-year-old. I hope he's kind of regulated, calibrated his swing to the aches and pains of a 42-year-old instead of.
I think that's what Diffusion took care of, where he's not. Not going to bother him. His club
golf is more exciting, even though there's a lot of great young players. It'd be great to see Tiger back up to a close to a level that he used to have, just to see how the young people play against him, and just because he's such an attraction for the sport.
I think two things are going to happen. Number one, you need to get back into making cut golf before we worry about anything else. And number two, this is not the Albany Club in the Bahamas where every lie is flat, the rough is a quarter of an inch, and the greens run at 10. This is a little bit different this week, so that's what I'm excited to see. But I'm going to set the bar wildly high. If you're giving me a prediction who's going to win it on Kapalua, you have to give me a prediction of what Woods is going to do this week.
Make the cut. Winner for this week?
Yeah, well, just what Tiger's going to do. Is he going to make the cut?
Is he going to contend? Well, I think he'll make the cut because it's a course he's really familiar with, and obviously it's had a lot of success. And I think he'll, you know, finish in the top 25, maybe.
Okay.
Just really feel, and that's a lot of wishful thinking on my part.
Yeah.
He could just as easily miss the cut, but that's what I'd like to see happen.
All right. Well, that's good. I think 4 rounds of Tiger is better than 2 rounds, and I think that's where we're heading this morning. All right. Enough of our golf show that we'll pick up at some point once satellite radio comes calling for us. Keith, well, we've got a busy morning,
Mick,
though.
Mick, 40 years ago, you were a student at IU, and there was a blizzard in Bloomington, and now you're the deputy mayor. Are the old timers telling you what it was like, and what did the city learn from all of that?
Well, my role today would be a little different than my role 40 years ago, that's for sure, if we had another one of those blizzards. I was recollecting my experiences as a student back in that era, reading some of the stories in the HT today. And I lived on Maxwell Lane with 4 other guys that we rented a house when we moved out of our fraternity as juniors. And I recall shoveling snow, not just for our cars, in front of our house, but for the neighbors, and the neighbors were nice enough. We didn't expect anything. We were just trying to help people that we lived around, you know, try to be good neighbors. And, you know, we would get tips and thanks and all those kind of things. Well, we turned that into about a 3-day snow shoveling business and went around as far as we could walk and just help people out. We really didn't expect to get much money, but I think all of us did make a decent amount just from tips from that. But
I get exhausted listening to this story. My back hurts hearing this.
I've never seen anything like it before. It was, and I hope I never do again, particularly in the role I'm in today, because it would be very challenging. It completely shut down everything in the community for days back then. And as a student, I recall we didn't have class for several days because of the coal shortage, which is also another part of the story of that era. We had classes on Saturdays. We were closed for 3 weeks at IU. And everybody thought that was great at the time until we got back from an elongated spring break, only to find out that all those classes we had missed were now going to be made up on Saturdays.
Well, Mick, let's come to today. And I don't know your background. Is it a pothole or a chuck hole where you're from?
It's a pothole in my neck of the woods.
Okay.
But I've heard both terms used.
Chuck hole?
Chuck hole is kind of the Northwest Indiana thing.
Really?
Yeah. So how are we doing in Bloomington?
Well, chuckles aren't making anybody laugh.
I think there's 585. Adam Wason reported that had been filled last week.
Oh, wow.
All within 24 hours. You know, we rely heavily on the public to let us know what they see as you drive roads and you see potholes. We do have people out and about looking for them, but it's much more efficient if you just tell us where they are. There's 2 ways to do that. Call Public Works at 349-3448 and report it, or use our U-Report app. And just make sure you give us enough specifics, like it's between Hillside and Lincoln and Washington or something, so we can narrow down the area to put the coal patch in. And coal patch is I think most people are aware, it's just a temporary fix. It just fills the hole, so less damage to cars and tires and so forth. And back when the weather warms up, we'll get out and do the complete patches in the spring and summer.
How long does that cold patch last? Will it come out because it's not permanent?
Yeah, it does come out, and it comes out kind of, you know, dictated by the weather and the speed of traffic, and all of those are factors that'll help and unfortunately dislodge the cold patch material. But, you know, if it adheres quickly and it's not too wet underneath it, you know, they'll stay in for a decent amount of time.
Well, good.
Now, how are we doing on the bicentennial progress?
Well, I'm glad you asked. There's several things coming up that, you know, the city and the county are celebrating
their
200th anniversary. So,
at least 200.
Oh, there's at least 200 things happening. That's right. We got a song. We got all kinds of things happening for that. That's great.
Yeah. So we've got a contest to celebrate our Arbor Day, which is coming up in April. And we want to do a 2018 Bicentennial Arbor Day poster. So if you are a two-dimensional artist and you'd like to submit an idea for the 2018 Bicentennial Arbor Day poster, you may do that by submitting it no later than January 31st to the Bicentennial Arbor Day Poster Committee, and you can call it 812-349-3719. You can check out our Parks and Recreation Department as they will manage that program, and anxious to see what kind of submissions we get to celebrate our Arbor Day celebration.
Now, Mike caught you a little off guard last week about the Winter Palooza, but you're all set on that this time.
You know what?
I think you said everything, but I should mention.
We did mention it, but the only thing that Keith cannot promise for your Winter Palooza would be the winter weather that goes
with
that.
That's right.
We don't want to be held accountable for
50 degrees is not going to make it.
Well, that's why the snowmen are made out of what, Mick? Plywood.
No snow required for this one.
I like it. Well, that's a great idea because the show must go on. You can't predict what Saturday is going to have the most or best weather to make that. So we get around it by making plywood snowman. Who can sign up for this? How much does it cost, and where do I need to go?
Yep. Saturday, February 10th is Winter Palooza at Alcott Park. Snowflake races, play winter-themed Wii games in the outdoor living room, and have a snow cone. $5 a person, $20 a family. It's at Alcott Park, and you can visit bloomington.in.gov/winter for more information about Winter Palooza. I will say the weather crack that you just made about no snow required and build things no matter what the weather is outside. Recall early in my career in Parks and Recreation, I used to try to get outdoor snow skiing done in Bryant Park.
Cross-country stuff.
Cross-country skiing. And
well, you were an athlete. Let's look at you. Shoveling
cross
country.
We were trying to get people to learn how to do it.
Rennheisen, is that Nordic?
That. And unfortunately, in Indiana, that's very unpredictable.
Well, so skiing on grass doesn't make it.
Well, you can do it downhill. Yeah. Just not flat.
You can do that now, but you have to rewind about 35 years for this story to understand the era we were in. But I think we canceled that more than we actually had it. A couple of times we had enough snow in February to have a cross-country skiing program.
You'd have a better chance of doing ice skating in the Bryan Park pool than cross-country skiing.
I think you're right about that.
So, yeah, we you know what? We should have our own Winter Olympics here, but they'll take care of those in China or in South Korea.
South
for
Korea,
us,
that's right.
For all of that, but we have too many events and plenty of things going on here, and that's what makes our town exciting as well. It is January; it is a little quiet in the such, but you know we were talking to Bette Savage yesterday. They got the BMOR Awards coming up. There's always something going on. Is there a city election this year as well, or is it a county election?
2018. It's
county this year.
Two more years.
Yeah, so don't blink on any of this.
Well, on events that are coming up, Mick, we're on the cusp of Black History Month, and that's a big thing the city.
Yep, the whole month. Starting February 1st, there'll be a kickoff celebration or reception and a program in the council chambers at 6:30. The featured speaker will be Eric Love, who's the Director of Staff Diversity for Notre Dame University. So if that kicks off the month of Black History Month in February, you can check out other activities by reaching out to our Community and Family Resources Department or reach out to our Safe and Civil City Director, Rafi Hassan, at 349-3559 for more information.
Mick, one of the other things coming up is everyone who wants to know, okay, so now after the comprehensive plan, what do we do? What are the next steps, those kinds of things? What's the city got on the calendar for that?
Well, the next step is development of the Unified Development Ordinance, and that's a 12 to 15 month process that'll kick off February 5th through the 7th, when we'll have our consultant in town. They'll meet with a variety of stakeholders, with a steering committee made up of some city staff and some other folks from the community that'll kind of oversee and have be the check-in group as the plan is developed. And, of course, that has to then go to the Plan Commission when it's completed, and then the City Council for adoption. So it's a long process, but it's an important one. Remember, this is the rule book part of what happens after the comprehensive plan. If the comprehensive plan is kind of the guidelines of what we'd like our city to be in 15 to 20 years out, then this is how that actually happens. This is the technical ways of how development occurs.
And then the transportation meeting, there's another one tonight, right, for the transportation plan, 5:30,
right?
Council chambers?
That's right, and that too feeds into the Unified Development Ordinance and the overall planning approach to our city. So all these plans, there's another one coming up shortly that we can talk about later, the sustainability plan. All these are adopted documents that go into the comprehensive plan and affect the UDO. And these are ways that you triangulate with your community the various interest areas. You know, how do we get around? What do our buildings look like? How do we take care of our environment and all things that are related to a sustainable plan for our community? And when you adopt all those, they fold into how we think about what happens as development occurs in our community over the course of the next couple decades.
And these are like chapters of the book, correct? And when you put all these chapters together, that you...
Yeah, I'd say more like addendums.
Okay.
The comp plan has chapters. The UDO is the laws that are created out of it. And these are various addenda to the plan that influence the thinking of the decision makers as projects come forth, as road plans come forth, bike paths, walking trails, all those things are affected. Transit system, where the transit system expands, all that's part of the thoroughfare plan.
That's very important. So if you want to get involved, yep. 5:30 tonight, Council Chambers will have that going on. Set your DVR or take a long lunch. 1:40, Tiger Woods, today. Important.
You guys got time for trivia?
Let's do a couple. Let's all do right. It. Yeah, we missed it last week. Yeah, we've got time. Let's do that. But I want to make sure you knew what time Tiger was taking off. You know, the important things.
Yeah, the important thing. Well, flu season is widespread this year.
My
I hope none
gosh.
Of you have had that, but we certainly have seen it affect our city workforce from time to time. And our Community and Family Resources Department released some tips this week on how to protect yourself from the flu. So what do doctors say is the most important step to keep from getting influenza? Is it A, eating a balanced diet, B, getting at least 7 hours of sleep each night, C, getting a flu shot, or D, taking a multivitamin every day? Which is the most important step?
Most. I think all of them are very important,
right?
Because the more you do for your body, it fights off disease and everything else. I'm going with E, all of the above, creating my own answer.
That wasn't in there. Okay, I'm going to go with
important.
I'll go with the flu shot.
Yeah, probably get a flu shot.
Sleeping and eating.
Yeah, but if I sleep and eat, I've had a flu shot and slept and ate. All right, get your flu shot. I get you.
It is the most important one. All those are important, Glass. I couldn't disagree with any of that. But the most important one is getting a flu shot. It's not too late to do that. I know that the statistics indicate that this year's flu virus is pretty bad, but still better to have a flu shot than not. At least if you get the flu, it reduces the symptoms quicker. All right, next question. According to Nancy Woolery, the city's health project coordinator, flu activity usually peaks when? A, between Thanksgiving and Christmas. B, between Christmas and New Year's. C, between December and February. Or D, between January and March.
I'm going with December and January because it's a big, long segment. You get together with people.
More people.
You got schools in and out and stuff. Yeah, that's where I'm going. You
all
like
right,
that?
Keith?
I'll take January to March.
Well, nobody goes out in January. It's too cold.
It is C, between December and February.
That was Keith took a bullet there.
I was just doing
Keith
it.
Keith took a bullet there.
He variety.
He needed the variety.
All right, and finally, your bicentennial question. This is a new feature we're adding this year.
This is awesome.
200 years.
Bicentennial themed question each week.
C, 200 years.
Yeah.
Which popular U.S. president visited Bloomington and stayed at the Indiana Memorial Union Hotel? Is it A, FDR, B, Harry Truman, C, John Kennedy, or D, Josiah Bartlett, the fictional president on the West Wing played by Martin Sheen?
Ooh, you know what?
I'm going to go D.
I'm going to go D as well.
D.
Did you hook us?
Well, it's actually the real president, FDR, stayed at the IMU Hotel.
Really? When was he here? That's a great piece of trivia.
Isn't it?
That'll win you. That'll win you something.
You sure Sheen never stayed at the hotel?
Martin Sheen was never at the Union.
I don't know.
Well, you asked Diane Daly about that. He did, really. I'll have to. I follow a great Twitter feed. It's IU Archives on Twitter. I love it. Old pictures and letters and everything else. I'm gonna hit them up today and see when that was.
They do a good job. Yeah, we're for a treat. Two more years when IU celebrates its 200th as well. I'm sure we'll get a lot more interesting things when it's IU's turn to celebrate. But this year it's the cities and the counties.
We'll practice and then we'll all celebrate. Then we'll have 4 years of bicentennial celebration.
There you go.
It's almost like an Olympic cycle. It's great. Mick, great job. Thank you for helping us out.
Thanks,
people
guys.
Need more information. Just go to the city's website. Very helpful, bloomington.in.gov. And we'll talk to you next February, which is next Thursday.
You got it.
Always.